Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here. On a Wednesday evening, Rhino has joined me. He's down there in Studio X, continuing our shenanigan-free stretch here on the show. At least we hope so. We've got another 53 minutes to put that to the test. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. I'll be detailing some great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. And if you want to reach us here on the show, it's easy to do. It's on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We'll talk some Mississippi State sports or, you know, whatever. We can make it like that episode of Parks and Rec where with Ron Swanson. Just random stuff. You're talking about shenanigans. I am.
Evil shenanigans.
Fun note, that is one of Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director's favorite movies. I don't know how that's the case, but it is. He asked me about it. He said I think I said something to him at Media Days and he thought I said meow. And he was like, "Did you just say right meow?" And we just sort of went from there and I found out that's one of his favorite movies. So I swear to God I'll pistol whip the next one of you that says shenanigans. Great movie. We can quote it all night if you want. We can do some stuff here. Do you think Parsons should be getting some playing time or go all in for MVB? I think it should just be MVB at this point, just because Parsons doesn't give you anything that Van Buren doesn't. They're both mobile, so it's not like, you know, if you're saying you just want to run the quarterback at that point, if you go Wildcat and give the ball to Coleman or Craver or Daniels or somebody, I wouldn't. Parsons, to me, he'll be in the portal this time in December. All right. Mississippi State football enjoyed the off weekend. I think enjoyed is the correct term there. Talking to Mississippi State fans, just having a weekend to not have to go through the grind of watching this team was something they wanted. And they got to enjoy college football on Saturday. It was very enjoyable, as we all know. A fantastic weekend, and this weekend will be very similar, but there is a game on the schedule for Mississippi State, and it just happens to be another road game against a top five team in the Georgia Bulldogs. This is State's third trip to Athens in the last 7 years. State has not played at Florida since 2010, but this is their third trip to Athens since 2017. And in case you're wondering how the SEC schedules are working, not great. Do you want a liter of cola? I want a liter of cola. God. I can't drink a liter of cola anymore. Nobody wants that. One of the things that Borky asked me about, you know, he said, what do I hope to learn from Mississippi State this weekend? It's an interesting question because I don't know how much you can take away from this game and the Texas game and the way that they've played in those games. You know, I thought this is one of those two things can be true at the same time moments here, that I thought State played better against Texas than I thought they would, but they still play poorly. They were never truly in the game. They couldn't move the ball when they needed to. They gave up 500 yards of offense, 35 points. Yeah, I know it was 7-6 and it was 14-6 late in the third quarter. But was anybody looking around going, "Hey, the upset is on"? No, you just kept waiting for Texas to finally pull away. I mean, the State never led in the game, but they did play better. They did play better, and that's kind of where the ceiling is for State in these kind of games. Just about playing better. State's, I think, a 34.5 point underdog coming into this game. And if they cover, Mississippi State fans are going to walk away saying, All right, they did about the best they could. At least if you're rational, that's what you should be. I'm not saying that most of you are. Some of you are quite irrational. I am some of them. I'm one of those as well. But I like what I saw from Van Buren in week one. I shouldn't say week one. You know, start one for him. I do, you know, we talk about the bye week, and Levy's told us on Monday he felt it came at a good time for them, just from an injury standpoint. But if I'm Van Buren, I would want to keep playing. I wouldn't have wanted to take that week off. So, for me, you know, I don't know if he's the quarterback of the future for Mississippi State. I liked what I saw in the first game. I liked the swagger that he showed even down late in the game. I thought he was competent. I think he's got a lot of room to get better. He's got a high ceiling, it looks like. But at the same time, you know, I'm fully aware that Mississippi State will bring in a portal quarterback, and Chapin's going to be back, and there's going to be a real live quarterback battle here in Starkville this offseason. Not the kind that, you know, you've had at some other schools where you thought one guy was locked in. I don't think that's the case at all. I think Mississippi State, if you said who's going to start Mississippi State first game next season, I would tell you I don't know the answer. I would say it's going to be Chapin, or it's going to be Van Buren, or it's going to be another guy that's not on the campus right now. I don't think it's going to be Kamario Taylor. That's the only one I'll tell you for sure it's not going to be. So for Van Buren to go out there against Texas and play the way he did was encouraging. And if he can do it again this week against a Georgia team that we haven't seen Georgia play its best football this year. We haven't seen the best of Georgia. I think Georgia is the most talented team in the country. But they have just not played like it really since week one. They were really dominant against Clemson. But since then, what have we seen from Georgia that makes you just say, okay, that's the best team in college football? It really hasn't been there. Maybe the fourth quarter against Alabama, but of course they couldn't hold on to win the game. And you've got Kirby Smart kind of calling out his fans a little bit, and I worry that State's running into a little bit of a buzzsaw here. You got a Georgia team that really wants to show that they are the best team in the country. You got a Georgia fan base that their head coach is calling them out. State could be walking into a situation where everybody really wants to make a statement. Especially if you're Georgia and you're going to go play Texas next week. You want people to have some buzz, like, okay, now this Georgia team they're all firing on all cylinders. Look what they did to Mississippi State. At the same time, if you're State, you got to say, look, we went to Texas and held our own for two and a half, almost three quarters. There's no reason you can't do that again against Georgia. So Van Buren, I'm not saying he's the key to anything. He's not an X factor or anything like that. It's just about keeping him healthy and keeping him confident so that when you get past this game, at least you start looking at some games and you start saying, well, they're going to be a big underdog, but this could happen and State could find a way. Against A&M, against Arkansas, less so against Tennessee, less so against Missouri, less so against Ole Miss. But you can say, okay, they have there's a path, right? There's if this goes right and this goes wrong, you could look up in the fourth quarter and State's winning the football game. But keeping Van Buren healthy and confident is the key to that. From a defensive perspective at this point, I'm just resigned to whatever it is. You know, I two things can be true at the same time. State was better defensively than I thought they would be against Texas, but they still weren't good. So I'm not one of these people who's trying to say, you know, oh, well, you know, I saw some improvement. I didn't see any improvement. They gave up 500 yards of offense and 35 points. That's not great. That's not getting it done. By the same token, I didn't expect much from this defense. If you listen to this show, you listen to the podcast, you listen to anything I did, I told you this defense was going to be awful all season, and that the offense was going to have to carry this team at times, and they have not been able to do that yet, and it's going to be certainly more difficult to do that with a freshman quarterback out there. It just kind of is what it is. I feel like the offense has gotten better the last 2 weeks. They've been able to find something in the running game. This game to me, these two games, this game's against Texas and Georgia. Even when I thought State was a bowl team back in August, I never had any thought that this was going to be super competitive games. I figured State would go over there, get blown out, and move on. The way they played against Texas was encouraging. I guess you could say that. And if they can do it again, that would be encouraging as well for Mississippi State. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you that and tell you that I think you know, this is what I wanted to be telling you about. You know, it's not great that the ceiling for these games is they might play well enough to only lose by three touchdowns. But it is what it is, and you got to face that reality. Somebody asked on the text line, Shapin's coming back. Mississippi State said they will pursue a medical red shirt for Blake Shapin. So I expect him to get it, and I expect him to be back and start next year. That's at least what they're saying at this time. Could that change? Absolutely it could. It's college football. Changes every day. We just turn around. There's new rules. Yeah? It's like your wife trying to figure out which dress she wants to wear. It's like, this one? This one? This one? You never know. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. So, we are going to completely, totally change gears when we come back from this break. My conversation with Coach Sam Purcell, Mississippi State women's basketball. Talked to him the other day. Got his thoughts on his team, his roster, this upcoming season. Had fun with Coach Purcell, as I always do. We'll do that conversation when we come back. We'll talk some more football afterwards, but let's go over women's basketball right now. So Coach Sam Purcell joins us in just a few minutes. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Ugh, I've been feeling...
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Before we get into this interview real quick, I want to let you know what's going on in the city of Vicksburg. There's a quilting class at the library. Oh yeah! That's this Saturday, 1 o'clock start to the Vicksburg Public Library. For more info, call 601-636-6411. We go now to my interview with Coach Sam Purcell, Mississippi State women's basketball. Well, let's continue with the bye week blitz. You know, people can always tell me that I'm negative, that I'm like this really angry person. I don't know what you're talking about. I love to talk nice. And I'm going to talk nice to my guest right now, Coach Sam Purcell, Mississippi State women's basketball. Looking forward to another great season from him. Coach, I'm going to ask you this. I got a couple of questions that I asked Chris Jans yesterday, but I want to get both of y'all's thoughts on them. And we'll start with this one. You know, 10 years ago, year three for a coach was always the big year, right? At that point, you've been there for three seasons. You've built your program. You've recruited three classes. Most of the roster is yours. It's not the same way with roster construction anymore, but is it fair for fans to say a coach that's in year three, we're going to have a higher expectation than we had in year one and year two?
No.
Okay.
I'm just being real. You just answered it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, right? That's why our hashtag this year is own it. You got to just own the chaos that's coming within college sports. But hopefully as a head coach, you're building a program where kids don't want to leave. You're hoping that you have a fan base that's one of the top in the nation, that you have an environment that, you know what, you can't get this anywhere else across the country. And those are the factors that I look at when you're judging a program is who are we internally? Because some of this external stuff, you can't control.
So that being said, you've got a roster, you got a team with a lot of new faces on it. And, you know, basketball, so much more than football, in my opinion. Chemistry is so important. How do you feel about the chemistry of the group that you've got right now?
Yeah, so I got a lot of great individual talents. All right, you look at somebody like Anaya Russell, who is ESPN top 25. Destiny McFall, number one junior college recruit in the country that we were able to get. All right, Jerkayla Jordan, we all know about Jerk, one of the best guards in the SEC, not only that in the SEC, but in the country. Debrisha Poe, 40% three-point shooter. But now we got to put it together, all right? And I'm telling all our fans, I've told my coaching staff, we got to fail fast and we got to learn because we haven't been in the ringer. So every day in practice, I'm trying to put them in situations that they have to learn and grow from. So when the lights come on, we can come out ahead.
That's interesting to hear you say, you know, to make that comparison, you hear about situational practice. That's a football thing. You know, they want to practice goal line and 2 minute. What is situational basketball practice?
Well, first and foremost, time and score, all right? What set am I going to call that you've never been in a situation with me that are game winners, all right? Who's taking the shot? I just named several great individuals, but who's going to take the moment when the moment occurs? And then most importantly, who's a pack of dogs that are ready for a dog fight that we got to get a stop and make sure the other team doesn't score?
You mentioned Ja'Kayla Jordan. I think that, you know, among the players returning in the SEC, she might have been one of the most important ones, not only just from the production that she brings you, but the leadership standpoint as well. When you got the word that she was returning, what was that first reaction like?
Ooh-wee. I was Tootsie Rolling, whatever modern term in today's kids dance terminology. I tried to do it as a 44-year-old man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pretty. No, I think that part, I think me and Jan's always talk about is what fans should value. Are your best players coming back? All right. If your best players are coming back, then you're doing something right. And those are things that you can control. For her not to leave in 2 years and be a part of my process is a statement. She loves Mississippi State. She is Mississippi State. She wants to make sure Mississippi State wins.
Another question I asked Coach Jans yesterday, because you just got so many new faces. We can't just sit here and you know, roll through all of them. So I'll ask you this. Who has surprised you the most since their arrival here in Starkville?
Woo! Wow, that's a tough one, man. I'm telling you, everybody surprised me. If I had to give one, I say Destin McFaul, the number one junior college player in the country. She's electric. She's left-handed. She's a scorer. And the best part is her best basketball is ahead of her. Every day we come to practice, she's getting better, and that excites me as a head coach.
I think something that excites Mississippi State fans is you adding Victoria Vivian to your staff. I mean, just an absolute legend here at this university, not just in women's basketball, but just in sports. You know, if I had to do a Mount Rushmore of the last decade at Mississippi State, I think she's on the list with Dak and Jake Mangum and people like that. What exactly does she do for your staff? And then what is she going to bring to Mississippi State now that she's back?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. First and foremost, what she's going to bring to our staff is everything. All right. Everything that when you give a speech that we have a vision that we're trying to sell, she's done it. All right. You know, when we're in those locker rooms that you got to understand what it takes to win, she's living it currently right now at the highest level in the WNBA. And then most importantly, my kids who want to be pros, what a great resource to have someone in the active market who understands the right agents, what's going on to make a professional team, and most importantly, where women's basketball is going. So it's a blessing to have her. And then just the youth movement, right? Us coaches, man, we get older every single day. So to have somebody that's hungry to get in the coaching profession, she'll admit it. She's got a lot to learn. But I've got a full staff of head coaches here. They're going to mentor her and help make sure we put her in place so she can have success in this business.
You got to replace one of the top front court players in all the women's basketball from a season ago in Jessica Carter. You got a lot of options there. You know, is that something where you have to do by committee, or is somebody going to step forward and be that same similar kind of player?
Well, first of all, somebody's got to step forward, right? Because like you said, we're losing 30 minutes a game. So let's start off with Nier. Nier was a freshman last year that, you know what? She could have transferred too. She only played 10 minutes and she was the top 50 kid in the country coming out of high school. So for her to learn behind a pro and stick with the process, I'm excited for her opportunity. And then Kayla, all right, from Georgia Southern. She started off at Penn State. Everybody's got to remember this is the last year of COVID kids. So I've got a lot of fifth year kids, which is great. Older's better. So I'm looking for a big year from her. And then my wild card is Medina. All right, Medina from Kenya. And let me tell you something. The young lady was not here all summer for our conditioning test. Okay? I had kids training for 4 months to pass this test. Medina shows up in the fall and on the first week passes the test. All right? I've never seen nothing like it. The kid has a motor and energy about her, but most importantly, she is prideful and thankful to live here in the United States and just living life for what all Mississippi State is giving her. And I know she's excited to give back.
How quickly would I fail the conditioning test?
Oh, done. You already failed it now that you're thinking about it.
Oh, it's that type of thing. Mentally, I'm already beaten. Okay. You got my attention.
It's a mindset thing.
I want to see Robbie take it, to be honest with you. You know, I think he'd have a little better chance than maybe.
Oh, he's definitely done. He's great at tweeting people, but you know what? He's not going to be able to handle it if people tweeted him. And that's my guy.
I wasn't expecting to smack on Robbie today, but we'll do it. Missed the NCAA tournament a season ago.
He knows I love him, so.
Missed the NCAA tournament a season ago. What's the key to getting back this year?
Being
pissed. Don't say more wins. Don't say it.
Yeah. No, being pissed. I'm pissed. I hope I can say that. Third place in the SEC in the second week of February. And this is what I tell everybody. Ah, it's a bad loss. You know, you play the bottom half. There is no bad teams in the SEC. The bad teams in the SEC have 2 to 3 McDonald's All-Americans. There's no other conference in the country like the SEC. But the problem was we didn't finish. And I look in the mirror. I lead this program. I got to make sure we get tough and we finish out what we started. We did it. But what I am proud about is when you had teams around the country that didn't play in postseason play and just went ahead and counted and quit, my kids didn't. My kids put on that uniform and we played in that WBIT. And not only did we play in it, we smacked people. We came out upset and beat Georgia Tech, who was a great team, who lost to 5 teams by 2 points or less in the top 25 by 40. Then we come and play a TCU team that's rise on the country. They were in the top 25 earlier and beat them at home and then lost the heartbreaker at Penn State. So for us to, you know, bow up and fight as dogs is what makes me excited for this year.
I feel like from a basketball perspective, this season, both from the men and the women, there's as much anticipation as I can remember. There have been some seasons where the men were good and the women weren't as good. There have been some seasons where the women were elite and the men weren't as good. But this is, it really feels like this year, the anticipation for both programs is incredibly high. Do you feel that? Is there sort of a symbiotic relationship with, hey, when they're good and we're good? I mean, you got that doubleheader game in Tupelo, and that should be a huge crowd for both teams.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked me this question. I tell people all the time, this place is special, and it's not to be, he's trying to be employee of the month. It's real. Me and Chris Jans, like you said, we got hired at the same time, so what a cool relationship, right? But then we have a mutual respect for each other like no other. And then I give Chris Jans a lot of credit. I say this every year. The way he values women's basketball and my young women, his players take on his personality. They're high-fiving us when we see each other in the hump. We're cheering each other on. Like, hey, guys, when we go through each other's practice. And there's that cool behind-the-scene energy so that when games occur, we go to their games and they come to ours. So it's great to see us both having success. But we're each other's best, you know, fans, and it's really cool to be a part of this environment.
I'm looking forward to tip-off this season. Looking forward to watching your team compete. I think you're going to have another outstanding year here at Mississippi State. And always a pleasure to have you on. I don't drink coffee, so having you on gives me my little caffeine boost for the day. I'm good to go now.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. Let's do this again.
Absolutely. Coach Sam Purcell, thanks so much, man.
All right, thank you.
If you're feeling anxious,
thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday evening. T-Spire text line is open and available to you, 601-879-4395. Don't forget, this Saturday in Vicksburg, it's the second Saturday. It's an opportunity for the community to shop downtown, listen to live music, learn from featured artists and artisans, and much, much more. For more information, follow Vicksburg Second Saturday on Facemail. Facemail. How old am I? I use the face mail on Facebook or email Vicksburg Second Saturday, and that's 2nd at gmail.com.
Did you get my face mail message?
I'm on the My Book. Isn't that what they on like Law and Order when they're like, I checked his My Book page?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Thanks to Coach Purcell. Appreciate his time. I always enjoy talking to that guy. He does get me fired up. How can he not? I mean, just listen to him talk. He is excited about his team, and he's just excited about being in Mississippi State. So as we all know, this past weekend, just an absolute bloodbath of upsets. You know, so many top teams going down, especially here in the SEC. And so I asked the question, does that make you feel better about Mississippi State? Do you look at the schedule and say, Well, hold on now. If Vanderbilt can beat Alabama and if Arkansas can beat Tennessee, Mississippi State can find a way to win one of these games coming up. Or does it make you say, gosh, you know, I think State's that much further behind. I don't. In a year where all these other upsets are happening, State doesn't have a chance of one. I lean towards, believe it or not, I lean towards the positive side of things on that. I think that State can win a game that they're not expecting to win. And honestly, that's every game except for UMass. And I don't necessarily know that I'm expecting to win the UMass game, but we'll just put it in the win column just for the sake of argument. Just for the sake of my head not exploding when we talk about Mississippi State possibly losing to UMass. All right? What is it about the New England area? State needs to stay away from there. I look at it, you know, State plays today. Before last week, I looked at Texas A&M and Arkansas and thought, okay, those are winnable games. You get them at home, and they haven't been that impressive. And then, of course, A&M goes out and just blasts Missouri off the face of the earth, and then Arkansas beats Tennessee, and you would think, okay, well, maybe State can beat Missouri then. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But in a year where it feels like this is the year where the portal has really done a good job of giving you some parity, that maybe Mississippi State can win one of those games and can get an upset. You know, right now, I mean, again, these are not pleasant things to talk about, but if State were to somehow finish 4-8, that would be a huge deal for Mississippi State at this point. When you consider where they were after they lost to Toledo, and you're just looking at that schedule and you're going, they might not win again. They could find a way to somehow, you know, beat UMass and win two conference games. That's something you can build on going towards next year. Now, you're going to be a massive underdog in all of these games. I think, you know, Arkansas will probably be the closest of the SEC games that's remaining in terms of a point spread. Arkansas will probably be a 10 to 12 point favorite when they come to Starkville. A&M likely to be a 14 to 17 point favorite, maybe even a 20 point favorite. At Tennessee, you're likely going to be a 3 to 4 touchdown underdog. Missouri, probably another 17 to 20 point spread. And then the Egg Bowl, you know, it just depends on what happens between now and then with Ole Miss. It's a long season to play. But I mean, right now that line would probably be 21. It'd probably be 21. And honestly, if you made me bet, I would probably take the Rebels to cover that. So that's why they call it an upset, though. They don't call it an upset because you were favored. It's an upset because you were the underdog. I mean, Vanderbilt was a 23-point underdog. Arkansas was a 14-point underdog this past weekend. You know, it happens in college football. And I think it's a good litmus test of where this program really is. You know, this program's hurting right now, man. They could go for some good news. They could go for a little positive momentum. And getting an upset like that would obviously just be a huge thing. To be able to go to Davis Wade Stadium on a Saturday and walk out with a happy face, walk out with a smile, would be massive. It would be great for Jeff Lebby because he could point to something, be like, look, you know, we were outmanned, we were outgunned, but we got the win. And we're going to continue to add talent, and we're going to keep stacking up wins like that. You know, Mullen's first year, a little different situation because that team was competitive throughout all of its games. You know, they had the game against LSU that they nearly won at home. They had a moment against Auburn where they were leading that game. You know, the only game they really weren't competitive in was the game against Alabama, who, of course, you know, was really good that year. But even against Florida, you had that moment when Jonathan Banks takes the touchdown back and you're like, okay, they're in the game. Maybe something can happen here. So State needs to find, you know, especially once they get past this week, right? I'm not going to put the burden of I expect them to be completely competitive with Georgia on them. Not going to do that. But when they play Texas A&M, they need to be competitive in that game and have a chance to maybe find a way in the fourth quarter. Arkansas certainly need to be competitive in that game and have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. Tennessee, I mean, on the road, that's going to be a really, really tough one. Missouri at home, I'd like to say you can be competitive in that game and have a chance in the fourth quarter. Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl, I mean, it's the Egg Bowl, guys. Crazier things have happened in the Egg Bowl than this Mississippi State team going to beat this Ole Miss team. Again, and I know Ole Miss fans are listening, they're like, what did he say? Did he say they're going to? No, not saying that. Not saying that. I'm just saying that crazier things have happened. The favorite usually wins in the Egg Bowl, believe it or not. But crazier things have happened. That's the path for Mississippi State this season, is to, again, just to get past this game with Georgia. Although, look, if somehow State play goes out there and plays well, and it's a lot closer than we think, I mean, you can. It's crazy to say that there's not a good loss, there's not a moral victory, there's none of that, but it becomes something that you can build upon a little bit. You say, look, we played Georgia and we played Texas, and we didn't play enough well enough to beat those teams, but we played well enough to beat other teams. And I think that's the case. I think that the State team that played last two Saturdays ago against Texas, if they play that same way against Arkansas, would have a great chance to win the game. If they played that way against Missouri, they'd have a great chance to win the game. So it's going to be, you know, can you replicate those performances? I was talking to Richard a little bit about this, because we're trying to, you know, I don't want to just come on here every week and be like, oh God, they're so terrible, I'm so sorry. It's about finding those little moments that you can point to and go, okay, you got something there. I thought Van Buren's touchdown was one of those moments. Here's this kid, you know, a year ago at this time, he was playing against guys who were, you know, watching him from the stands now, and he went out there down late in the game, but he still had the swagger to throw horns down when he scored a touchdown. Now, normally, I think I mentioned this last week, I'm not a big fan of taunting when you're down. See Dylan Stewart, if you're wondering what I'm talking about. But in that moment, I was like, okay, this kid, he's got a little something to him. He's got a little heart there, because he didn't let all everything that's going wrong affect him, and he had his moment there. You can build on a little moment like that. And that's what Jeff Lebby's job is right now. That's what he's got to do. He's got to find these little teachable moments, these little plays, little seconds within the game where his team does something right, and point to it and say, guys, if we can do that a few more times a game, we can walk off the field with a win. And, you know, look, that's not an easy task, but that's why you pay the man $4 million plus a year. You know, that's his job, to get out there and find those moments and motivate his team. I will say that, you know, one thing, and I've brought this up before, that when somebody says, well, they played hard, I mean, what are we talking about here? That is the absolute bottom baseline expectation, especially in this NIL era. I mean, you played hard. Well, you're getting paid to be out there. You dang well better play hard. But I felt like his team was still rallying around him last week. That's how I felt with Jeff Lebby. That he wasn't just, you know, like talking and nobody hearing him. I felt that he had his team's ear. This is going to be another tough week to get through, but I think if you get through this week and all the pieces are still in place for you, you can start looking at some games and going, okay, guys, we have a realistic chance in this game. I mean, before last week, Texas A&M had not been impressive this year. They did play incredibly well, and they will be a big favorite when they come to Starkville. But that game is not unwinnable for Mississippi State. It is not unwinnable. They have a chance in that game. They'll have to play really well. A&M will probably have to make some mistakes. But that scenario exists, and they can take advantage of it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Lebby puts his team out there and how they look in the coming weeks. Because, you know, if you go 2-10, eek. Not that you're on a hot seat for next year, but you dang well better be a bowl team next year. You can't Chad Morris this and expect to go forward. And I don't care how many coaches State's had in how many years. You can't do that. You got to show something moving forward. So we'll see. All right, we'll wrap things up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thunder.
All right, one last go around with you here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Always want to thank our good friends over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. To find out more about what's going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, just go to the website, visitvicksburg.com, and click on the events calendar. And there is literally something going on every day. If you want to find something cool to do in Vicksburg, they've got you covered. Check it out, visitvicksburg.com. I want to thank Rhino again. We are, you know, all our, we're at the point in the plane where people would start standing up, which would really annoy me. Like, you're in the back, you're standing up, sit down. Now, there's an order to this. So Rhino is bringing the plane to a full stop at this point. So, as always, thanks to him. Who went to see Ludacris? By the way, I only got one Ludacris Twitter rumblings question. I read it, though. I read the lyrics to, I think it's called Saturday. And I read them as I was requested to read them in a very dignified voice. Thought I did great. But I only got one. I thought I was going to get a whole bunch. That was disappointing.
I didn't realize I had forgotten to do that until I sat down in the chair for Thunder and Lightning tonight. Like, as soon as I sat down, I was like, oh, wait, no!
Well, if you go and listen to is that today's pod? That would be, what is today? Yes, if you go listen to the podcast today, I don't know the timestamp for you, Rhino, but it's in there. I mean, it's like a full two paragraphs that I was required and I read. Because I'm a man of the people. And when the people ask of Brian Haydad gives to the people. This is, I represent the People's University. This is the People's Show. Simple as that. So, but a great crowd. Awesome to see all those folks down in Starkville last Friday night for Ludacris. Huge event. We got another big event coming up in about a month. My buddy Alden Thornhill's putting on the Bordentown Grand Prix. We're going to have a full-on soapbox derby here in Starkville. And congratulations to him, by the way. The Starkville Derby, which, of course, is the world's largest and most exciting wiener dog race, won a huge, won the best event. I don't know the exact terminology of it, but they won for the state of Mississippi. And I had over 60,000 people in the Cotton District last year to watch wiener dogs race. Never thought I'd see the day, but it's an awesome event. It knocked off the double decker, which is, you know, that's, you talk about Vanderbilt beating Alabama. It was that kind of upset. Double decker's had a vice grip on that award for some time, but Starkville Derby was able to take it away from him. So congrats to Alden. Love that guy. He does a lot of great things here in the city of Starkville. You know, trying to bring exciting events to our community, and I appreciate him for that. So, yeah, I did an interview with him last week on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Go back and check that out if you missed it. And that is coming up on November the... Oh, goodness, Rhino. I should have been ready. I wasn't ready. November the 22nd. It's the Friday before the last home game of the season. And there are rumors, there are whispers in the wind out there of a Thunder and Lightning mobile. Then we might have a Thunder and Lightning car entered. I don't know yet. We're going to find out. We're getting to that time of year, though, where it's, you know, we got football starting to, you know, I understand when I say heating up. Look, I have self-awareness of what's happening here at Mississippi State. But college football's heating up. We're about a month away from tip-off of the college basketball season for the men and the women. Fall baseball is going on right now. Next bye week, when state's off, that'll be the week of the 16th. I'll do another set of interviews. I'll talk to Coach Lemonis and Coach Ricketts about their teams and what the spring's going to look like here at Mississippi State. And, of course, the holiday season's coming up, too. My favorite holiday of the year, Thanksgiving, coming up. Halloween coming up. And then Christmas. I mean, it really is something. I'm an old man. I don't know why I'm waxing poetic here. I don't know why we got away from sports, but we'll just go with it. But, like, this year really has, they say the years fly by. This year has really flown by. It really doesn't feel like it's October. I look around and starting to cool off a little bit, and I'm like, what is going on out here? So, just trying to kick along for as long as I can. I don't think, yeah. Is Richard tomorrow? I haven't looked. Is he still on the political beat tomorrow? Let's see here. Haven't gotten it yet. Haven't gotten that email. What is Alex doing? Don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what to tune in for now. That's upsetting. Richard Cross. Is he a Clay Travis type guy now? Is he going from sports to politics? What's happening there? I know he's listening right now. If he's listening right now, he just got so mad. It's okay. It's okay. He's like Clay Travis if Clay Travis was a decent human being. I'll save it like that. So. All right. So tomorrow, I know tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, it's just me and Michael Borky. So tune in for that. Thunder and Lightning, me and Robbie got a podcast up for you in the morning. It includes an interview with Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7, a little preview of the Georgia Bulldogs. Guys, have a great Wednesday evening. For Rhino down there in Studio X, we have now come to a complete stop. You can get up. You can move around the cabin. The seatbelt light is off. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.